Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Let's get rolling on the Business Lunch with Mark Hamrick, Washington Bureau Chief and Senior Economic Analyst at Bankrate.com. Mark, where should we start today? Want to talk about employment? Is that a good place? And jobs?
That's certainly the headline for us today, John. So, sure, it's always a pleasure. Yeah, this monthly jobs report came in a little weaker than expected with the payrolls number coming in at 187,000 jobs added. June was revised down previously at 209,000. That was moved down to 185,000. So the previous 2 months downward revisions took about 49,000 jobs off the table there, I think. So moderation is the theme of this jobs report. Even so, the unemployment rate moved down just a bit to 3.5%. So that's still in a good space from a worker confidence standpoint.
I wonder if we lose sight of the fact that for months now, a couple years now, unemployment, well, not a couple of years, but for a very long time now, unemployment has been sub 5%. I mean, that's really a fantastic number.
It really is. And that's one reason why Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell says the job market remains very tight. And to your point, we've seen this unemployment rate range between 3.4 to 3.7% since March of last year. And I can remember some time ago talking with a very great economist in the lobby of a television studio off air, ask him where he thought the job market could lead us. And I remember he said, this was some years ago, but he said, oh, I think 3.5% is doable. And I thought he was right. But I also, when he said that, I thought, wow, that'd be amazing. You know, and we've been really sort of bouncing around that level at the beginning, right before the pandemic, people might remember. And then, of course, here recently. So, yeah, it is something to celebrate. And probably for most people, they just take it for granted because it may not be something that they see having an impact in their everyday lives. But for the nation to maintain this low level of unemployment, and that, you know, that's a good base to be working off of if you're worried about weakness down the road as well.
But if you're the Fed, do you want to see the net effect of your policies start to eat away at that a little bit? Would you expect to see unemployment rise?
Yes, I would say that the way Chairman Powell characterizes that is that he wants to see better balance between the supply and demand of labor. And he thinks that that equation has been resolving itself, if that's the way we want to look at it. But listen, we got a job openings report this week where we still have an elevated number of job openings. We now, with this latest number, this suggests that we have about 1.7 jobs open for every unemployed individual. So we don't have enough people in the labor force to essentially satisfy that demand for labor.
Right,
so
right.
I mean, from the Fed standpoint, they can only really affect one thing, and that's demand.
Well, real quick about that, and then we'll take a break and we'll continue this conversation. But certainly during the pandemic, there was a lot of discussion. And even as we started to come out of the pandemic and go back to our doctor's offices and our schools, there was a lot of discussion about nurses and teachers. If you were even studying to be a nurse or a teacher, you could get a good job as a nurse or teacher. Is that still true? Is there still that kind of pent-up demand where in some sectors you can walk in and have your choice?
Absolutely. That's a great point, John. And healthcare is an area where we see elevated job openings, but we also see in education. So, you know, those are two professions where people have been kind of taking it on the chin, whether it's because of the pandemic or it's just difficult to be particularly a public school teacher these days. And a lot of the people in those tougher jobs, you know, people always like to sort of joke, but there's some seriousness to the point that nurses do the hardest work, you know, that they're just not paid perhaps as much as they ought to be in a part of the economy that is one-fifth of the economy, which is healthcare.
We'll pick it up here in a minute. Mark Hamrick's joining us from Bankrate, 1221 WGN on the Wintrust Business Lunch. We're talking to Mark Hamrick. He's the Washington Bureau Chief and Senior Economic Analyst at Bankrate. We've been talking about jobs and the good jobs report. What else is maybe key to the economy right now, Mark?
Well, you touched on it before the break, and that was Federal Reserve. I attended the news conference that the Chairman Powell held last week. Time moves quickly. I think one of the things that investors, whether they're, let's say, saving for their retirement or professional investors are trying to process right now is the prospect that interest rates could remain higher or high for longer. And that seems to be one of the messages that we're watching. We're working its way through the fixed income market right now. And I was talking with somebody who works in the renovations business the other day, and he was talking about how here in the Washington, D.C. area, the realtors are feeling a little down in the mouth because existing home sales are not really moving very much. And that's a reflective of the 7% mortgage rates that we're seeing. People who have lower mortgage rates don't want to move if they don't have to, because, you know, that would raise their monthly payment significantly. In fact, I asked Chairman Powell about the prospect for the housing market to sort of resolve itself, and he said he thinks that's going to take quite some time. And the conversation that I had with this renovations person was to sort of reflect on the fact that a 7% mortgage is actually pretty close to the historical average in modern times, but we went through this period from essentially the late aughts after the great financial crisis and up through the pandemic, where we basically had zero benchmark interest rates. And now we're seeing things resolve themselves in a way that getting back to the historical norm. But it's hard to know where we go longer term.
So do you think maybe the key to the real estate market opening up is not so much the rate going down as us getting used to where the rate is?
I think that's a good observation, John. I mean, you know, the National Association of Realtors says they think the 30-year fix could move just, you know, barely, maybe down to 6.5% by the end of the year. And if we had a recession or something like that, or when we have a recession, you would expect that to move substantially lower from there, as we did during the early days of the pandemic. But the other part is, you know, my colleague Greg McBride had the saying that people don't get married when wedding dresses go on sale, you know. In other words, it's a way of saying we have to go about living our lives. And if somebody, you know, needs to move for a job, or maybe they actually are downsizing at a certain older, more senior stage of their lives, or whatever it might be, yeah, I do think that there is that sort of just having to accommodate or get used to the way the markets are performing, because there's not really any other alternative, although home builders, who are taking a larger slice of the housing market pie these days, and they're trying to be aggressive about providing supply, are trying to provide some solutions that include the opportunity to get a lower mortgage. So that's one thing that is going on as well.
Yeah, I'm sure this will fall on deaf ears, maybe because it doesn't make sense, but hey, home builders, build smaller houses. They'll cost less. You won't get as much house, but if the interest rate is higher, at least my mortgage will go down because the house didn't cost as much. We asked David Hochberg, who is a mortgage expert here in Chicago, what he thought the number would be that would be necessary to achieve to open up the floodgates, get those people out of those 2.9% or 3% mortgages. He said 5%. He said we got to get to 5%. What do you think?
Well, everything's incremental, right? So the closer you get to 5, for that vantage point, sure. But it's going to be a long time, more than likely, that for us to get to that, I think, based on what we could possibly know. And so if that is spot on, and I guess there's no reason to say it's not, we could be waiting for that to happen for quite some time. And so to your point, it's a brilliant point, John. You know, obviously home builders have to work through getting greater efficiency, and I know they are working on that, you know, trying to come up with, let's say, more things that are essentially fabricated before they arrive at the site. They have problems with regulation. They have problems with labor. Material costs haven't been doing anybody any favors. But I think you're absolutely right. If we could get smaller footprints for some of these homes and more efficiency within that design, and maybe less expensive materials cost somehow, which part of which could be through innovation, I think that is a solution that could resolve a lot of pain points.
I wonder if that is attractive to people that do home renovations. That is, all right, I'm stuck in this house. So rather than finding one on the market at a price I can afford, I'll just, you know, instead of borrowing $400,000, I'll borrow $40,000 or take a home equity loan of $40,000 and I'll just upgrade the one I'm in. Do you have any sense that that is happening?
Oh, yeah, big time. I think the renovation market has slowed somewhat because there was a rush to do it when, you know, people were sort of stuck in their homes in the early days of the pandemic, and maybe they had a space for an office or for their child to work out of when they couldn't go to the classroom. But I think that is a significant part of the activity that's going on right now. And I would expect that to be the case, particularly as long as these mortgage rates remain elevated, because, you know, where people might have in the past, if let's say mortgage rates were lower substantially, they say, well, okay, let's go with the smaller floor plan in another location, maybe even right. A would-be retirement destination. But now it's not as appealing.
I think we're out of time. I'm looking at my producer, and I'm talking to my engineer, Dan. Guys, we got to wrap this up now, right? Or are we going all the way to the bottom of the hour? Yeah, they said, John, as much as you love Mark Hamrick, his time is up.
Well, I hope I've got some time to be with you another time. But, John, it's always a pleasure. It's always a great questions and observations from you, and it's always great to be connecting with the WGN audience.
That's Mark Hamrick. Thank you, sir. Washington Bureau Chief at Bankrate.com. WGN Radio News is next. Gail Nixick joins us now, Vice President at Elder Works. You may want to take notes as we have this conversation or plan on attending what Gail's up to. Hi, Gail. You're on WGN. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
Good. Tell us what you're up to.
Certainly. Happy to do so. Elderworks Educational Services is holding their ninth annual Aging Better Expo, and that's going to be at the Stonegate Banquet and Conference Center in Hoffman Estates, and that's Wednesday, August 9th from 8:30 to 3 o'clock.
So what does that mean? What kind of services do you have on display there?
Sure. So what we are going to have are featuring all different types of providers when anyone is looking for navigating the process and aging, whether it's aging well at their home or looking for other services outside the home. But it's also educational. So we're going to have a lot of classes, and that's going to have topics such as nutrition, fraud prevention, Medicare, Social Security, estate planning, you know, all things that can really help individuals when they're looking at options. So whether it's right now or sometime in the future.
Well, that would be most of our listeners or most of everybody. I mean, if you aren't in that age group, your parents or grandparents are, and if they aren't now, they will be. So I think this, put it this way, this strikes me as an invaluable service for people over the age of 50 or around there.
Well, sure. And, you know, quite honestly, we are getting a lot of people who are saying, gee, I wish I knew about you years ago. We were looking for my parent, for my grandparents. They really didn't know where to turn. So here you're able to go to one individual, you know, place where you have all the different resources right there, the classrooms, all the professionals who are teaching the classes. They're very generous with their time. They're happy to spend time afterwards and educate anyone who is looking for this information because, yes, it is out there, but it's a lot of work when you're trying to research things.
Well, will those providers actually be there? Could people hire somebody or sign up for services on the spot, or is it just information?
So they have the information available there on the spot. If you wanted to continue working with them, they're certainly happy to see you, whether it's in their office, virtual. Again, they offer education and then planning. So if, for example, if you wanted information on estate planning, so we have a couple of attorneys that will be talking about that. They'll answer a lot of the questions so you can plan ahead, because that's what a lot of this is. So they go, oh, you know, I was at this seminar. I learned a lot. Maybe I should make an appointment and talk with these folks. So that's what we're hoping to achieve, that we're able to give everyone all that information. So at some point in time, they might need it. So the whole goal is really so they can plan ahead and not have to be in a hurried situation when choices could be limited at some point in time.
What's the biggest maybe service or area of need that people have when they think about this sort of elder care?
So when people are looking at the elder care picture, you know, someone might say, you know, gee, you know, mom or dad has been in their home for maybe 40, 50 years plus. You know, they really don't want to leave their home. Is there a way possibly that we can help them age successfully in their home? And we say, absolutely. You know, that's why there's modifications for their home. They can possibly, you know, look at caregiving companies. They can do a lot to help that individual thrive in whatever that setting might be, home or even an independent or assisted living as well. So, yes, you want to give everyone the support they possibly can. So we're always going to give them tools so they can make an informed decision.
I think the thing a lot of people really want is to find people that can come into their parents' home and help them throughout the day, that are reliable and friendly and affordable and maybe even 24 hours a day or 12 hours a day. You know what I mean?
Well, you make a really good point about that, too, because, you know, we have to think about the time when that senior was very active in their role working. They really were with a lot of people. They engaged with them. And here they are in their home. They might be lonely. They might be recently widowed, or even their kids live out of state. So hiring someone to keep them company and engage in a lot of activities would be very helpful. It can be expensive, but I will have to tell you, there is a benefit out there called the VA Aid and Attendance Benefit that does help our veterans pay for this care.
Is there a transportation service? I know plenty of people who of a certain age don't drive anymore or shouldn't drive anymore, but have occasion to go out, either to shop or go to a doctor's appointment. And sometimes it's hard to, you know, they're not good with Uber. So
no.
what resources are there for them?
There's a few out there. So the first ones that come to mind, depending on where they live, some of the townships actually have volunteer senior companions that can take them, pick them up at their home, door to door, take them to doctor appointments, take them grocery shopping. So these, again, are also volunteers. So that's one way. Some of them also have, the townships have discounted taxi rides. So if they have appointments within wherever they live, it's discounted as little as $3 a ride, and again, could take them to all those places. And then there's some other services that are Uber-like that are very friendly. It's a grandparent transportation service, and you actually can use a landline to book your appointments, and there's like no transaction that occurs right there at the time of service, and it's also very affordable, and they're nationwide.
Do we need to be at this event in order to avail ourselves of all this information?
You know, it really would be helpful because people come away and they have given us so much positive feedback. They've learned a lot from the classes. You know, they walk away, they go, gee, we had no idea there was so much information out there. We're going to have probably over 110 local providers, and we're going to have probably close to 450 active adult seniors and their family members attending.
Wow. Okay. So ElderWorks is having its 9th annual Senior Expo. This is in Hoffman Estates. It's going to be next Wednesday. And what else should we know? 8:30 to 3:30 at Stonegate Banquet and Conference Center. That's on Higgins Road in Hoffman Estates.
Right.
Is there a charge? Is there a fee to go to this?
No. This is a completely free event. Anyone is welcome. There's plenty of parking there. People have been calling our office, you know, just about, can I still register? You don't necessarily have to register in advance. We would really like those names. If we could get names, and they can call us at 847-462-0885, just so we can have a name badge, you know, ready for them when they register, but it's not necessary. But we'd love to see anyone who wants to come out and join us next week.
847-462-0085. And can I click on elderworks.org also?
So our website is elderworks, ElderWerks.org.
Those are all E's in there, elderworks and then .org. Okay.
Correct.
Really helpful, really invaluable. It's nice to talk to you today. Thanks for the thoughts.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Bye.
That's Gail Nixick. She's the vice president at elderworks.org. 1244 on WGN. Okay, so let's get you more business news. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. United Airlines is buying up land near Denver International Airport. It's about 113 acres with a sale price of $33 million, according to a published report. Denver is one of United's hubs, and the Chicago-based carrier operates a flight training center there. It's also in the middle of an expansion in Denver and in the process of increasing the number of gates it utilizes there. The airline has told Cranes the land in Denver gives it options for the future as it implements big plans to grow. The parent of U.S. Cellular says it's exploring strategic alternatives for the company. This type of announcement usually means the company is for sale. U.S. Cellular provides wireless and internet service in 21 states, serving about 5 million customers. It does not serve the Chicago market. It's operated by Chicago-based Telephone and Data Systems. Shares in the company shot higher after the news broke. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
12:50 now. This is WGN Radio. Let's face it, when it comes to patronizing a new business, a customer will always judge the book by its cover. People look at your store, they look at your business. If it looks great, they have a good feeling. If it doesn't, they don't. Maybe they don't even walk in. So, how's your awning look out front? If it's dirty, if it's weathered, if it's faded, that's not a good thing. Call Thatcher Oaks Commercial Awnings to install a new fabric or aluminum awning. It'll enhance your curb appeal. It'll add colorful advertising to your business. It'll welcome people in. They've been doing this for 39 years. Thatcher Oaks Commercial Awnings, helping shopping malls, storefronts, hospitals and schools and restaurants, big businesses, small restaurants, small businesses. It's amazing. If you've been to a Binney's Beverage Depot, that awning, Thatcher Oaks. You heard of Lou Malnati's? Thatcher Oaks. Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, those are all Thatcher Oaks awnings. So whether you're looking for vibrant and exciting colors and awnings or something neutral and classic, their expert team will help you design the perfect addition to your business. You may even qualify for a facade improvement program rebate. Call 630-833, and they'll tell you all about that and how to do it for that matter, 630-833-5700, or visit thatcheroaks.com. Thatcher Oaks Commercial Awnings, your success shaded with style. Marcia Raparu joins us now, the co-founder and chief wellness officer at a company called Beyond. It's spelled B-I-A-N. Let's pronounce it Beyond. And this is about the business of a shared workspace. Mar, it's John Williams. Thanks for joining us today.
John, thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here with you.
When did you guys launch? How long have you all been out there?
So Beyond, we opened in November of 2020, so right in the heat of the pandemic, and we just launched our 10,000 square foot co-working space on June 2nd.
Now, I know you've expanded. So was it the plan, realizing that people were reimagining their workspaces for you all to incorporate, or were those plans in the works before, say, March of 2020?
It definitely was driven by behavior of our members and the guests that they were bringing in. And then obviously working from home started to become a burden for many. And then with the disruption of offices, we decided to disrupt what one would consider traditional co-working spaces. And that's where we really have driven the expansion to focus on a sustainable co-working and business practice in an environment where one can really do it all in healthier and more meaningful ways.
So are you a leased space operation and then people come in and work at your location during the day? Is that the idea?
So we're not leased. What we are is within the broader ecosystem, Beyond is a private wellness work and community club. So we're really well positioned to really serve it all. So our initial footprint was just a private club that replaced your gym, your doctors, your ways that you socialize, and then opening up the co-working space, it became an additional benefit to membership. So members that were already a part of the club now have 10,000 square feet to have business lunches in a more professional environment, because our front lounge that previously would serve as both social and meetups and co-working is more lively. And so we really wanted to make this have that more ambient, quiet space so that you can have those business opportunities and operations here. And we also incorporated two state-of-the-art conference rooms, four private rooms, really ample space to not only do your co-working and meetings, but we also can hold quite large events as well.
So you're membership-based. Describe for me a customer of yours, a client of yours, and how they use it on a given day or week.
Sure. So we really are seeing, so I can kind of walk you through what we call our super users, and it's a pretty large group. We have about 800 or so members at the moment, and so we're quite happy. And what we're seeing is the average member comes in, they get a workout in, they grab breakfast, they do some co-working, they pop in to maybe see a doctor if they're working on their nutrition or maybe physical therapy, or maybe they want to get a meditation in. And that's part of what I want to throw out there is we've also disrupted traditional kind of water cooler breaks from work instead of going and maybe grabbing something unhealthy or engaging in something that doesn't really motivate or inspire or refuel you. And you have all of these options to do it. So that said member I was kind of walking through a day of then will participate in an activity of the sort and then head back to the co-working space, work for a few more hours, maybe then meet a friend for lunch or a business, have a business meeting in the space. And then they'll wrap up their day, maybe take some food to go, and then they're on their way around 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. And so there's many routes, but in terms of the co-working space, it really has been the main hub for our members. And then they easily and conveniently can pop to and from all the things that they also want to do to live a healthier and more vibrant existence.
Are these individuals employed by themselves? I mean, it doesn't sound like a corporation that has 25 employees, say. It sounds more like, I don't want to say gig workers, but independently employed people.
I would say it's a mix. So we do have a lot of corporate C-suite level individuals who will come here maybe Tuesday, Thursday, and this will be their space that they will work out of. We have some individuals that, yes, they're entrepreneurs, and this does replace where they were previously working or if they were working from home. We have the said member who doesn't really want to work at home anymore, and that became the replacement. And then we do have teams that no longer have available workspace due to that shrinking space in the real estate market, and they will rent out spaces for their teams to come together. We have a couple of groups that will meet on Tuesdays, and one is on a Friday, and they have space together where they all can actually be in the same environment to work together.
It's fascinating. So is this one location in Chicago? Are you guys all around? Where are you located?
We are here in Chicago. It is our flagship. It is the only one that we have right now. We're located in the old Montgomery Ward building, 600 West Chicago Avenue, right at Chicago and Larrabee. And we're definitely looking at expanding because this is definitely a idea that has impacted so many people's lives personally and professionally that it's really starting to be known and take up some space.
Marcia Raparu is the co-founder of this place and chief wellness officer at Beyond, B-I-A-N, Beyond. You can check it out at livebeyond.com. Mar, fascinating. Good luck to you, and let's check in again down the road.
I'd love it. Thank you very much.
That's Live, B-I-A-N, livebeyond.com.